This is St. Louis Public Radio. Missouri's new right-to-work law restricting union rights won't go into effect August 28th as Governor Eric Greitens had planned. That's because unions turned in more than 300,000 signatures last week to force a statewide vote next year. But St. Louis Public Radio's Joe Manis explains that the election will be decided by the 90% of Missouri workers who are not in a union.
The fate of Missouri's right-to-work law will likely hinge on which side does a better job of connecting with non-union workers like Heather Inman. The Creve Coeur accountant hasn't a clue how she would be affected by right-to-work.
I hear a little bit about right-to-work as a mother and a, you know, an employee in a non-union office. I have really no idea what the significance is going to be on me or my family.
Here's what right-to-work would do. It bars unions and employers from requiring all workers in a bargaining unit to pay dues or fees. Washington University sociology professor Jake Rosenfeld says the debate has become more significant than the law.
Right to work in Missouri and elsewhere has taken on a highly charged, highly public profile of incredible symbolic importance for both union opponents and supporters.
That's been the case for at least the last 5 years, as both sides have tangled over the issue in Midwestern states where labor and manufacturing once loomed large. Lawmakers in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Kentucky have passed right-to-work laws. Missouri labor leaders are hoping to mimic Ohio, where voters overturned a right-to-work law in 2011. Out-of-state money is pouring in. Just this month, at least $900,000 has been donated to Missouri political action committees that support right-to-work. Labor groups got hefty sums earlier to help pay for the petition drive. That backdrop helps explain why right-to-work supporters and opponents are so committed to their cause. Take state AFL-CIO President Mike Lewis, who told union members at a recent rally in St. Louis that the stakes are just as high for non-union workers.
When our wages go down and our pensions go down and our health and welfare goes down and we start getting screwed daily on the job, what do you think happens to people that don't have a union contract? Gets worse for them.
Right-to-work backers say the law allows more flexibility for workers and their bosses, and they paint the benefits in upbeat terms.
Something exciting is happening in Missouri. Our state is on the right
track.
That
ad is part of a statewide campaign by an arm of a conservative advocacy group called Americans for Prosperity. It has ties to the Koch brothers. State Director Jeremy Cady says it's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to highlight right-to-work's benefits.
The key one being that no worker should be forced to join a union or pay dues to a union that they do not wish to support.
Missouri Chamber of Commerce President Dan Meehan is a big backer of right-to-work and says its members believe the new law is crucial to attracting new business and jobs.
We've been pining away for the moment to become a right-to-work state for several years. And it's been a longstanding priority of ours to get this done.
WashU's Rosenfeld says both sides are exaggerating the effects of a right-to-work law. He blames job losses more on outsourcing and automation. Still, the statewide vote is welcomed by union workers like Lori Giannini, a cashier at Schnucks.
I am over the moon. I am so optimistic about it. I mean, the people have spoken and the union community has come together like nothing we've ever seen.
But it's not a permanent fix. Even if state voters toss out right to work at the polls, lawmakers are likely to simply pass another version. The only option for unions is to persuade voters to put a ban against right to work in the state constitution. Unions are expected to try to put such a proposal on next year's ballot. They have until May to turn in those signatures. I'm Joe Manis, St. Louis Public Radio.